Nice to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We are going to have some fun today. Erica Janik is my guest today, freelance writer, editor based in Madison. She's the author of the book Odd Wisconsin, Amusing, Perplexing, and Unlikely Stories from Wisconsin's Past. And I tell you what, Joy Cardine joining us as well. And Joy, you know, I almost missed the show this morning because I started to read again through Erica's book. And I looked at my clock and I, oh my gosh, I've got to get to the studio.
Larry, I'm glad you made it. I'm very happy that you made it. And I'm happy to be here, though. I am wondering why I was scheduled to talk with you during the pledge drive when you are talking about Odd Wisconsin.
It could be perceptions that people might have of you, Joy, but we won't talk about that now.
We do have some business to get to here, Larry. I'm here to encourage you to call in a pledge to support Larry Mueller, to help support Wisconsin Public Radio, to help pay the bills. 1-800-383-9772. Call 1-800-383-9772 to make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. And Larry, Odd Wisconsin, the book, is the special thank you this hour for a pledge of $120 a year.
$120. We'll send you a copy of Odd Wisconsin. I'm going to tell you right now, you're really going to enjoy this. If you look at Erica Janik, she looks like a calm, sort of a reasonable person, and yet she finds pleasure in looking up the odd things that have happened in this state. And she has found some. I mean, there's a guy that ran around with a hole in his side, and there were pigs that were beneath the legislature.
Oh my
goodness. Yeah, in the Capitol. A whole herd of pigs. Or I don't know if you call it a herd or not. Is it a pigs? A herd of pigs? No, it's not a herd of pigs. We'll find out from Erica will tell us this. Because she knows everything.
And I see that Rhinelander had a Tarzan. I did not know that. I've heard of the Hodag in Rhinelander, but not Tarzan of Rhinelander.
You will find out all of these things when you call in with your contribution of $120. We have a goal this hour and a half of $12,000, which is a mighty hefty goal, but it's a goal that we can meet with your help. To sort of sweeten the pot, we also have a challenge grant from some anonymous donors, and the challenge grant is $1,500.
That is a big challenge grant.
That's a big challenge grant,
Larry, and that is from someone who loves this program, loves Larry Mueller as much as you do, that they were willing to pony up
$1,500
to encourage you to call in your pledge. Help Larry reach this goal of $12,000 by the end of the program, and then $1,500 goes into the kitty. And that goes a long way, Larry, to paying the bills for things like the phone bill and everything from the phone bill to computer, paper, to anything that goes into producing a radio program.
And you know the odd thing about this, as we're talking about Odd Wisconsin, the odd thing is we have yet to give the phone number, I don't think.
Hey, I gave it once.
Oh, you gave it once. Well, let me give it again. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. If you don't want to phone in, it's just as easy to pledge online at WPR.org. WPR.org. And when you call in with your contribution of $120 or more, we'll be happy to send you the book, Odd Wisconsin, and we'll also be happy to send you the member benefit card, which gives you, two-for-one dining at a 250 restaurants.
It's really a lot of great benefits. You get the
two-for-one
entrees, and that's new this year, like 40-some bed and breakfasts in Wisconsin and Illinois and Minnesota. You'll get two nights for the price of one, and I'll tell you, that will pay for your pledge in no time if you take advantage of that benefit. Two-for-one ticket admissions to a number of cultural attractions. So it's our way of saying thank you for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio and your call to 1-800-383-9772 with a pledge of $10 a month or more. You will get not only the member benefit card, but the book Odd Wisconsin, which Larry and,
I've
and Erica
so much
will be
fun.
Talking about
during
this hour.
I've had so much fun reading this book. It is a gas, and I read it once, the first time Erica was on, and I've started reading through it again, as I mentioned earlier, and it's just a lot of fun to review and reread all of the strange things, strange but true stories from Wisconsin. You're going to love the book. You're going to have a great time with it. I believe I was told yesterday that if you call in with your contribution, or when you call in with your contribution, we're going to process these and get these back out to you by the holidays.
Oh, good. Then you can
so
give it
they'll
away
be back
as a gift
by the holidays. So what I do in those situations is I read it myself, but I try not to make it look like I've read it, and that I don't break the spine of the book or anything, and then I can give it away to somebody else.
You don't dog-ear the pages.
No, I don't dog-ear the pages.
I notice you have some Post-its in there, Larry.
Yeah, I can pull those out.
But the whole point is not necessarily to pledge money because you want a book or you want a card. Though those are nice to have, mm-hmm. I'll admit, but you pledge because you understand that Wisconsin Public Radio counts on listener contributions to bring you this service, to bring this program to you every day. We are listener-supported radio, and your contribution helps make up 31% of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget. We couldn't do this without listener support, support from listeners like you. Go to the website and pledge online if you'd like, WPR.org, or call 1-800-383-9772 and tell the volunteer who answers the phone how much you'd like to pledge, where you live, how you'd like to pay for your pledge. We can send you a bill or you can put it on a credit card. There's a number of ways to pay for your
Absolutely.
Pledge. And you will be on your way, and you'll feel good knowing that you support a radio program and a radio service that you value.
I've sometimes put it on my credit card.
I've seen you do that, Larry.
Yeah, I've done it when I was a little short of my goal. You know, I've actually gone in there with my credit card and said, I'll add a little bit more to that just to make the goal. Well, I tell you what, I can't do that every day.
And you won't be able to do it, I think, today. We need $12,000. That's the goal anyway.
Yes, that's the goal.
The goal is $12,000. And Larry, that goal is set because Last pledge drive at this time, you made $12,000, so you're a victim of your own success. We have to, we need to raise that amount in listener contributions because at the end of the drive, these hourly goals add up to the amount of money that we need in listener support. So $12,000 is the goal. It's a big one, but we get the extra $1,500 if that $12,000 goal is met. So you can help with your call, 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or pledge online, WPR.org.
Thank you, Joy.
Sure.
You'll come back and be with us again? Good. Check things out and come back and be with us again. In the meantime, I'm really happy to have Erica Jatty back. Erica!
Hi. Thank you for having me back.
Well, it's great to have you back.
Thank you.
The book's done pretty well.
It has done very well. Yeah, good response. It's been really fun, and from hearing from people, too, in response to stories when I've done readings, the things that people say, it's been really great. I actually had a 13-year-old come up to me the other day after I did a reading and tell me how much she liked it, and that was so wonderful. I love hearing from kids and people of all ages.
Oh, it's great. And I should let people know that you can call in if you have a question or a comment for Erica. Maybe you wonder whether or not a particular story got in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. And you should explain how you've got the book sort of organized here, because you've got different chapters for mm-hmm. different kinds of things. And what have you got?
Well, I kind of group them into some categories. Some of them could possibly go in many categories, but I tried to put what I thought fit best. There's one kind of on odd lives and strange deaths. That one's kind of on kind of kooky characters or people that, obviously, as the name implies, died in some strange way. There's also one about curiosities. This is kind of a chapter that's full of things like, for me, because I'm actually not from Wisconsin originally, things for me that were more like, that happened in Wisconsin or somebody did that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of inventions, too. There's the chapter about animals. There's also a political chapter. Include some things about people that you've heard of, like Bob La Follette, but possibly something you didn't know about Bob La Follette. There's also a food chapter, and then there's one about kind of spiritual encounters, mm-hmm. people seeing ghosts or ghost towns, just some of the ones that have been recorded in books and newspapers.
Well, yeah, and the ghost towns, I didn't even realize we had ghost towns in Wisconsin, and there's one. Where was that?
It was actually just by Blue Mound State Park.
Oh, that's right.
It's called Pokerville. And this one was actually near where Cave of the Mounds is today. And it was settled in 1828, and settlers came all over for the Wisconsin lead rush in the 1830s, because that part of the state was where a lot of lead mining was going on. The town had two inns and stores, bars, a doctor, a blacksmith, all the things of a frontier boom town. But it also had a lot of gambling, as was reported in the Wisconsin State Journal. It was referred to as Damned Pokerville for some of the bad things that happened there.
Well, Pokerville, with a name like Pokerville, what do you expect?
Exactly, exactly. They were asking for it. So,
but what happened there?
Well, what happened to a lot of towns, actually, the railroad just, they didn't put a depot there. And unfortunately, that led to the death of a lot of towns, and that led to the death of Pokerville.
Mm-hmm. And Pokerville, can we still see any of it? Is there any?
Until 1925 or so, you could still see some of the remains of some of the foundations of the homes. But as far as I know, there might be something left in some farm fields, but I haven't gone out to investigate. Perhaps I should.
So it's pretty well gone. But,
yeah.
But
just,
not forgotten.
Just alive in memories. Exactly.
not forgotten because of your book. Well, one of my favorite stories was on the political side.
Mm-hmm.
And let's skip to that for a minute, because there were a couple of things. And I don't know if they were in the same story now or not. I'm mixing them. One, the pigs that were in the basement of
the
Capitol. Yeah,
some pigs just kind of wandered into the basement, and they were kind of squealing during one of the capitals, the first capital here in Wisconsin, which is not our current building because we've had a number of fires. But they were down in the basement and would squeal occasionally, and there was someone who would stick a stick down through the floor to, like, quiet them, but that often just riled them up more. So,
oh, and there was something else about the ceiling that I remember, but I haven't read it recently.
Yeah, I think you're referring to in Madison's second capital. There was actually this giant chandelier that was hanging from the ceiling, but lawmakers felt really nervous sitting underneath it. So they removed it and they covered the hole with this heavy plank. And one of these crafty legislators was really tired of hearing his colleagues just drone on and on and on. So he had one of his staff members rig that plank across the hole. He had it propped up on a stick and ran a cord from the stick down to a nearby closet. And then the next day, when one of his colleagues was going on and on and on, the inventor legislator snuck off to the closet and gave the cord a sharp tug, and all of this dust came down on their heads, and it kind of became known as the overhead silencer. And lawmakers brought It's reported that lawmakers even brought umbrellas to protect themselves from the shower of dust. So,
oh, man. Couldn't you just see it with our legislators in there with their umbrellas?
Exactly. Dust coming down and they're popping open.
Erica Janik, our guest today, author of Odd Wisconsin, Amusing, Perplexing, and Unlikely Stories from Wisconsin's Past. If you have a question or a comment or a story that you want to tell and see if it's in the book, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. And you can email us as well at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with Erica Janik today about her book, Odd Wisconsin, and lots of odd things going on around the state and have gone on around the state over the years. So really pleased to have her with us. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And Sid, who claims to be from Pokerville.
Oh, I don't claim to be from Pokerville. I'm from Pokerville.
Are you a ghost?
Well, not yet. I lived in Blue Mounds. Mm-hmm. Pokerville was originally West Blue Mounds. Pokerville was just a nickname.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with all the soldiers and the miners who used to come there to leave their paychecks. But I've recently moved out to Pokerville.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have the only house left that's on its original foundation.
Oh, fantastic.
So, and the house that I still own in Blue Mounds was moved from Pokerville. It was a stagecoach stop, and it is haunted.
Oh.
So you moved the heck out of there.
I moved the heck out of there. Yeah. Well, the ghosts went with the house. They moved from Pokerville to Blue Mounds with the house.
Well, that makes sense.
Oh, well, do you find it lonely being the only resident of Pokerville?
Oh, no, there's other homes in the Pokerville area, but mine is the only one left that was original Pokerville house.
Excellent.
Wow, so it managed to survive all those years. Well,
it managed to survive, yes.
Well, now, what is your official address? Is it Blue Mounds?
Blue Mounds.
Yeah.
Blue Mounds, yeah.
But if I were in your shoes, I'd be calling it Pokerville, too.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Well, I'm right across the street from a big motorcycle shop called the Pokerville Cycle Works. So,
so someone's keeping it alive.
There.
Somebody's keeping it alive. Thanks, Sid.
All right.
Appreciate the call. Sid from Pokerville. Pokerville still lives. Gene in Waupaca, it's your turn. Hi, Gene.
Yeah, hi, Larry and guest. I live in Waupaca now, but I grew up in Wild Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I think everybody's heard about Wild Rose because of Jerry Apps, our famous author from Wild Rose. And you might already know this story about Patsy's grave.
Oh, no, please tell.
There was a bank robbery back at the turn of the century in Wild Rose. And as Pam Anderson, one of our resident historians, head of the Historical Society in Wild Rose, makes this one of her favorite stories.
Mm-hmm.
When we were kids, we would always go out to the cemetery, which was on the other side of the mill pond in Wild Rose. You know, every now and then our little gang would say, let's go out and look at Patsy's grave. And we would hear these little stories about this robbery way back when. And we still knew some of the people, the elder people in our community, who had been on a posse that chased those robbers.
Oh, wow.
Out by Gilbert Lake and had a gunfight with them. I think they got, I don't know, a whole bunch of Wild Rose people together to make a posse, more than you would imagine in a small community like Wild Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who had a horse or a gun or anything, they chased them. And Patsy was shot, was one of the robbers who was shot in that robbery. And Pam has followed up the story avidly over the years, and these were fairly famous gang. It was a rather famous gang who eluded posses in some of the large cities of the nation.
Hmm.
And then when they came to Wild Rose, that was their biggest mistake because that was the end of their gang. Some of them ended up in federal penitentiary because it was a robbery of a bank and a post office,
okay,
which made it a federal offense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I don't know if you'd call it odd. I always feel it's rather odd to tell people I come from a community named Wild Rose. and then for it to have such a story connected with it.
That's a great story.
That's a great story. No, that would that fit? That would fit in your book.
I definitely think so. I mean, odd kind of we take to mean interesting or unusual things that have happened in a town. And as she said, if they're robbing big cities and then they met their end in Little Wild Rose.
Yeah,
that's pretty interesting.
And Pam has had two reenactments now. On the 100th anniversary of the robbery, she got a bunch of townspeople together and they formed the posse and some of them were the gang members and they reenacted the whole thing. And then she keeps learning more about what happened to these people, you know, before they got to Wild Rose and after, the ones who survived, what happened to them afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so some Wild Rose citizens have been some of those characters, too. And she keeps learning more. So there might even be another reenactment at some point if Pamela keeps learning new things.
Well, Jean, you let us know if there is.
Yeah, I want to come.
Okay.
I'd like to come and see that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Oh, I like that story. If you got a story, or if you have a story, or maybe you're wondering whether or not it's in Erica Janik's book, Odd Wisconsin, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890, and email us at talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. You know, I mentioned at the start of the program, I mentioned the guy with a hole in his side.
Oh, yeah. Alexis St. Martin.
Yeah, Alexis St. Martin. What happened to him?
He was a trader here in 1822. A shotgun blew a hole in his side, but he didn't die. Instead, he healed, but with a hole in his side permanently. And he actually became kind of the handyman for a doctor out at Fort Crawford in Prairie du Chien, Dr. Beaumont. And, you know, he did things like chopping wood and opening up his side so Dr. Beaumont could perform experiments on him. And some of the things that he did were just, well, kind of crazy. He would insert vegetables into the hole and bits of beef. He once put in 12 raw oysters. And the main reason he was doing this is because at the time, people didn't know how digestion worked. You would eat food, and no one knew what happened after that. And here's your perfect opportunity, a window into his side. And Dr. Beaumont actually wrote a book about this that became the cornerstone of internal medicine. And Alexis St. Martin, the man with the hole in his side, actually lived until age 86.
And with that hole the whole time.
That's right. It's pretty incredible. I read this story at a reading, and a doctor came up to me and told me that, yes, it's true that this was an important moment in internal medicine, but it's also taught as an ethics case of not to experiment on people.
Well, I guess the gentleman didn't mind. What was his name again?
Alexis St. Martin.
Alexis St. Martin apparently didn't mind.
No, I think he just really needed a job.
And, and there's old Dr. Beaumont.
Yeah,
with a little
definitely.
Money
and it brought him some fame, too. So.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, and now we have the fistulated cow at the University of Wisconsin
right,
with a hole in its side. But that has
a window.
Yeah, you can look through the window at the inside of the cow. Well, Doug and Thomas is online. So let's go to Doug. Doug, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Not sure if mine is quite as interesting this morning, but I was wondering in the book if you had any information about the piece of Sputnik found in Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
It's not in the book, but we do have something on. So I should have said this too. Odd Wisconsin actually began as a blog on the Wisconsin Historical Society's website, and there is something on the website about that. But what do you know about it?
No, I grew up in Manitowoc, actually, and I know that there's just a very small plaque on the road in the downtown on the main street indicating where that piece of Sputnik was found.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. I didn't
very
know
cool.
that.
Yeah.
Well, see, I've got to get onto your website. Thanks, Doug.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. What's the website address again?
It's www.wisconsinhistory.org.
Wisconsinhistory.org. And I did not know. Well, if there was one piece of the Sputnik that fell in Wisconsin, there were probably some other pieces that fell in the state that just were never recovered.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Not a lot of interest in the Sputnik, actually, because it's an anniversary, if
it's
I'm not mistaken.
50th anniversary?
50th anniversary.
It was 1957.
Something like that. So. Lots of stories about Sputnik in the papers these days. Ken in Appleton, it's your turn. Hi, Ken.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm wondering if you have anything about Queenie the Dancing Bear in the book.
Oh, no. Tell me about Queenie the Dancing Bear.
Okay. My great-grandfather's name was John Akey. He was out of Merrill. And he had a bear that he caught as a cub, and he taught it to dance, roller skate, and actually, he taught it to drive a Model T.
Oh, man.
And he did the vaudeville circuit in the 20s and 30s all around the country, even down into South America.
Wow.
But the bear cub was captured in the early 20s around the Merrill area.
Mm-hmm.
And he, as I said, traveled around the country in the vaudeville circuit showing the bear.
Oh, that's fantastic.
There's articles that I've got about when he was taking it into a new town to do a show. He would actually have the bear, it was female, Queenie, drive the car into the town and sitting in the passenger side reading a newspaper.
Oh, that's a great story. That's got to get up on the
website. I know, that's fantastic.
What was the guy's name, Ken?
John Akey, A-K-E-Y.
A-K-E-Y, John Akey and the Dancing Bear.
I wrote it down.
Queenie the Dancing Bear.
Queenie the Dancing Bear. Okay, well, we've got that down, and don't be surprised if that doesn't turn up on the Odd Wisconsin website, because that's a great one. Thanks, Ken.
Yep.
Appreciate the call. You can join in, too. Maybe you've got a story, too, that we could add to this list. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area. Reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. You mentioned soldiers earlier, and that reminded me of a great story that you have in your book about a supposed cat.
That's right. That's right. Some hijinks.
I love
again,
that
out in Prairie du Chien. It's actually at Fort Crawford, which was also the site of Wisconsin's first temperance society, but it didn't really work at the base there. One moonlit night, these two guards were out inspecting the troops for the evening when they saw this object out in the distance, and one of them asked, "Is that a cat going toward the fort?" But they got a little closer to it, and it was moving very strangely. It looked like it was dragging across the ground, and they just couldn't figure out what was going on. But after a close inspection, they discovered there was a string actually stretching from the fort's wall toward the cat. And when they pulled the cat up, there was a bottle of liquor inside of the cat. They had basically just used a cat's carcass to hide their liquor and to get it inside of the fort. So... And it's funny because they had just actually been inspecting the troops and remarking on how sober they all looked.
Well, soldiers, I guess being soldiers, will come up with some ingenious ways to get what they want.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a great story. Well, we've talked a little bit about politics. We've talked a little bit about soldiers. How about, let's see, I've got some more in here. Oh, one of the ones that I really wanted you to talk about was... the Horlicks, because I am a huge fan of malted milks, and I love malted milks. And the Horlicks
are actually from Racine.
And
they're originally from England, but they started their company in Racine, and they came up with this food that it was actually an infant drink, and it's a wheat and malt based drink. And they came to the United States to manufacture it as an infant food. And they actually originally patented the formula under the name Diastoid, which to me kind of sounds like hemorrhoid cream or something. But fortunately, they realized that that name wasn't really marketable, and they trademarked the name Malted Milk in 1887. And really in the 20th century, it really became kind of the soda fountain staple, which was not at all what they had intended. And it also found some other unexpected markets. People like Admiral Richard Byrd brought it with him on his Arctic explorations because it was really lightweight and high caloric. And he was actually so fond of it that he named a mountain range in Antarctica after Horlicks.
And so there's a Horlick mountain range in Antarctica.
There is. And Horlicks is still around. It's actually better known, though, in Europe, especially in England. It's seen as like a nighttime drink to help lull you to sleep. And I actually had mentioned to a food writer that I know about malted milk, and she was like, "Oh, that's from England." I'm like, "Oh no, that's from Racine."
So the Horlicks, somebody from Racine could probably call in and let us know. So the Horlicks company is still in Racine?
I don't think so. No.
Oh,
they got bought out. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Oh, that's too bad. I love malted milk. I can tell you that. Butterscotch malts are my favorite. Joe and Downing, your turn. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi. See, I'm not sure if your author has mentioned this at all, but many, many years ago, there was a couple that lived not too far from Downing here, and they obviously were in love with each other. But when the husband died, the wife wanted something different for her husband at the funeral. So when he was buried, she actually buried him, and they put a glass case over the top of his coffin so she could see him when every time that she went to the cemetery. Now, I'm not sure if it's still there or not, but it was, I can't remember, the name Peterson comes to mind, but it was quite a story around the area, and several people had stopped to see this, and it actually was true. So
When was that? Do you remember? No, Joe, roughly?
Oh, gosh. I think it was in the, if I'm not mistaken, it was in the early 40s.
Hmm.
I think like 41 or 42, if I'm
1940?
Not mistaken. Yes.
Goodness. Wow.
It's fairly recent.
Wow.
So.
Oh, and what's the cemetery again? Or do you remember the cemetery?
I believe it's, St. John's, if I'm not mistaken.
St. John's.
Just east of Downing. Hmm.
St. John's Cemetery. Well, maybe somebody up there has been there, and I can't believe that there would still be a clear...
No, I don't think so either. But my grandmother had mentioned it, and she had seen it, and she had, and there were several people at the time. It was all the talk of the town that everybody went out to see, this fella buried in the ground, and there's a glass case over the top of him.
Oh,
wow.
Man. Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.
That's another great story.
It is a good story.
You're getting all kinds of things from the website.
I love this. I love it. I'm taking notes.
And let's see. Jim Packard's got some information for us, too, that he got from somebody who called in. Horlicks is now manufactured by GlaxoSmithKline in the United Kingdom, India, and Jamaica. So there you have it.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing the Horlick name connected when you went to a soda fountain, there'd be that Horlick name.
I think it's still under the Horlicks name. I just think they're no longer owned by the Horlick family. I think they're still using the name because I believe the website, because I've looked at it, the Betty Time Medicine, it's still called Horlicks and people refer to it as taking their Horlicks. So the name still exists.
It's just no longer in Racine.
That's right.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Maybe you've got a story for us or some more information for us. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. You know, when I get out of bed in the morning, we have my wife and I set our radio alarm. We don't have an alarm. We have an alarm, but we don't use it. We use the radio. And the radio clicks on at 5:30 every morning. And my wife usually gets up first, and I laze around for 5 or 10 minutes before I get out of bed. But there was John Muir, who is obviously very well known in this state, naturalist. And he, when he was a student at the University of Wisconsin, he developed a very interesting way to wake up in the morning.
That's right. If you ever have trouble waking up, John Muir had the answer. It was a combination bed alarm clock that when your alarm would go off, it would tip you out onto the floor. And at the same time, another mechanism would just strike a match and light a candle. So the lights were on. You were on the floor. No excuse. You had to get up. John Muir was actually like quite the inventor. He came up with all kinds of gadgets, and one of them is actually also to help him study. It was a book stand that revolved after a preset time studying. So, 30 minutes on one subject, and then it would turn, and another book would be in front of you.
Oh, and you get...
And this is actually in the lobby of the Wisconsin Historical Society here in Madison, that device, if you want to see it. It's pretty incredible.
And you used to have the bed on display at the Historical Society, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but now it's just that, just the book stand.
And there was, I think his mother had some comment, too, that he should have invented something of...
Yeah, that if he hadn't properly learned his lesson, she wrote, a hand would come up and bop his ears.
Well, he didn't invent that one, but I can't imagine being asleep and suddenly the bed comes up and knocks you out of bed. Mm-hmm. And then there's another thing that lights a candle at the same time.
Yeah. He's incredible.
He was incredible. Candy in Fish Creek, your turn. Hi, Candy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about the Dr. Beaumont Alexis St. Martin story.
Sure.
Yeah.
I thought that happened on Mackinac Island. There's an exhibit up there, and from when I was a little kid, we've gone there several times and always been so enthralled with that exhibit. I thought it happened there.
No, it actually happened at Fort Crawford in Prairie du Chien.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, now, I don't know. That's interesting.
Did Beaumont ever travel there to...
I don't know. I'm trying to...
It's possible that maybe he practiced there for a little while or
something.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. As far as I know, after leaving Prairie du Chien, he went to St. Louis, but...
Oh, how interesting. There's, of course, Fort Mackinac, and I thought he was associated, that whole thing happened there. Well, that's very curious.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'd love to get your book.
Well, all you need to do, Candy, is call in with a contribution.
Okay.
We'll send you a copy of the book, the $120 contribution, just to mention. If you want to get a copy of the book, $120, we'll send you that, and the member benefit card at 1-800-383-9772. That's all you have to do, 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Give us a call. And if you have some questions or comments for Erica, boy, we're getting some great ones here. Give us a call. Yeah, they're fun. 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. And another one, well, we've got some more callers online, so maybe we'll take another call here in a second. But Chicago, Wisconsin, how does that sound to people instead of Chicago, Illinois?
Well, it almost happened. It was actually the Northwest Ordinance in 1787. They agreed. That's when they were kind of drawing the boundaries of future states and coming up with how they were going to do them if we got any more states in the Midwest and beyond. And they agreed that any north-south border between the new states would be drawn across the southerly bend of Lake Michigan. And if this had actually been carried out, which it wasn't, Wisconsin would have Gary, Indiana to Davenport, Iowa. And this would also include Chicago. But kind of political tensions of the time in the 19th century got in the way of this. And when Illinois became a state in 1818, there was tension over slavery and they needed to balance. They wanted to make Illinois a northerly state and not have sympathies with the South, even though most of the people at the time lived more toward the southerly area of the state. So they thought that by giving them a port on Lake Michigan, that would tie them more to the north and northern cities. And so they gave them what is now Chicago. But
and could say that might be a good thing or it might have been a bad thing.
Yep.
we also lost the UP.
That's right. We did. And another agreement.
Another agreement gone bad or maybe gone good, depending on your view. Charlie in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi.
Yeah, hi. See, I was just passing through, and I just happened to hear you on the radio here. My grandfather, I'm 66 years old, my grandfather was part of the posse that put Frank James, Jesse James's brother, on a train to Stillwater, Minnesota. I've got a picture of him. It's over 100 years old of him and the posse. They're celebrating out rabbit hunting.
Oh, that's
on horseback.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, he, you know, and Frank James did get out of prison, and he actually gave a little bit of tour of their homestead and where Jesse was buried. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting tidbit for you.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Well, now, was that Wisconsin?
No, I think that was in Minnesota.
That was Minnesota, though.
I think
that was in Minnesota, I'm pretty sure. Charlie, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. And let's see, we got Bob in Door County. Bob, hi to you.
Hi. Hi, I had a question for you. I'm actually from Illinois, but I'm on vacation in Door County, and I grew up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And I went to the oldest free high school west of the Allegheny Mountains.
Really?
Yeah, it's in Kenosha, and actually one of the buildings I went to school in was from 1848. They've since torn it down. And the new building I went to school in was from 1921. And I was wondering if any of that was in the book that you've written.
It is not in the book, but I think the school was started by Michael Frank. I just know
that. Yeah, that sounds right, because there was a Frank Elementary School that some of my siblings went to. And I went to the school. It was originally Kenosha High, then it was Central High, and then it became Mary D. Bradford after one of the principals there. And from what I understand, the history was that it was the oldest free high school west of the Allegheny Mountains in the United States.
That could be. I know Michael Frank was the leader of the kind of the free public school movement in Wisconsin, and that is the area that he's from. So that's not in the book, but that is something.
Another thing that could have been in the book. Thanks a lot for calling, Bob. Appreciate it. Erica Janik, our guest today. She is the author of Odd Wisconsin, Amusing, Perplexing, and Unlikely Stories from Wisconsin's Past. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about the book Odd Wisconsin today with our guest Erica Janik, freelance writer and editor based in Madison. She's the author of the book Odd Wisconsin and Unlikely Stories from Wisconsin's Past. It's published by Wisconsin Historical Society. And certainly, I wouldn't say she's odd at all. Joy Cardine joining us here for a minute.
I thank you for that anyway. It's good to be back, Larry, and it's good to report that $1,200 has been raised so far by listeners of your program toward a $7,000 goal for this hour. There will be another goal for the next half an hour.
$5,000.
yeah. But we are on our way, and your call, your pledge will help us reach this goal and then pick up an extra $1,500, which is a special challenge grant that we have going during Larry's program. Two listeners to Larry's program, a couple, I believe, they want to remain anonymous. Love Larry so much, they have said, we will pay an extra $1,500 if you reach your goal this hour. How do we reach that goal? With you going to the phone by calling 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Or pledge online at WPR.org.
You know, it's easy to pledge. You can choose any amount, really. For $120, we will send you Erica's book and give you the member benefit card. But whatever you feel comfortable with, maybe you feel comfortable with contributing more money. That would be great. We've had some very nice contributions, some in the several thousand. So it's easy to do. You can choose the amount. You can leave some comments. We love to have comments. We got Tom in Menominee said he listens every day, his main source of news and information. That's great. If you want to leave a little note for us that we can read, you certainly can do that, and we'll be sure to try and read it. And if you go online, by the way, to WPR.org to make your contribution, when you do that, you can actually get your receipt. You can print your receipt right off, and so you got it right for your taxes, because you can use that, obviously, as a deduction on your taxes.
But whichever way you do it now to help help us reach this goal of $7,000 in this hour. And if we reach the goal by the end of the program, an extra $1,500. Your pledge goes even farther if we reach the goal this hour. And it lets Larry know how much you appreciate his program. You're listening to this program right now because you enjoy hearing Larry Mueller talking with his many guests on a wide variety of topics, really fun topics like we are hearing about today. You know, I always knew Wisconsin was unique. I knew Wisconsin was exceptional. I didn't realize we were so odd. But it's fun to get some historical information about Wisconsin. Other programs, Larry, giving you some practical advice on computers or pets and gardening and a wide variety of topics that help us live better lives. What's that worth to you? $10 a month? Why not? 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Pledge online at WPR.org. It's the $10 a month or more level that will entitle you to the thank you gift, the book, Odd Wisconsin, and the member benefit card.
And I can tell you, we've only begun to scratch the surface of Erica's book here.
<That's right. laughs>
We have not talked about, I mean, we haven't even covered 1% of the stories that she's got, maybe 1% of the stories that she's got in her book. So it's a really nice thank you from Erica and from us here at Wisconsin Public Radio for every contribution of $120 or more. I wanted to mention the or more as well, because here we're now at about $2,000 raised, so we have about $5,000 to go to meet our goal for the hour. And certainly that's within reach with your help. Whatever amount that you feel comfortable with is certainly what we'd like you to contribute. But also know that, if we had about 90 or so $120 contributions, that would put us right to the $12,000 goal.
It would do that. That's how we reach these hourly goals, Larry, with listeners making a pledge, one pledge at a time, and they all add up. And they all add up to 31% of our operational budget at Wisconsin Public Radio. This is listener-supported radio, non-commercial radio. We count on contributions from listeners like you, and that's why we come to you a few times a year during pledge drives like this, to reach out to you, to ask you for your support, your help in paying for a program service that you value. You value this program. You wouldn't be a listener to this program if you didn't appreciate all of the information that you get day in and day out from Larry Mueller and his guests. So say thank you and help pay for it by making that pledge of any amount. Really, there's no minimum, there's no maximum. We are asking for $10 a month or more if you would like the book and the member benefit card.
You can also join the 9XM Leadership Circle, and to do that, that would be $42 a month, if I'm not mistaken, because that's $500 for the year. You could join me. I'm in the 9XM Leadership Circle, and I invite you to come. You know, get some extra meetings to come to, and handshake I can show you to get into the meetings. You need that.
You do have the newsletter.
There's a special newsletter
just for 9XM Leadership Circle members, and of course, 9XM is one of the. Historical facts about Wisconsin. Those are the original call letters of Wisconsin Public Radio. That's why it's called 9XM. But you also take ownership of Wisconsin Public Radio with a pledge like that, and you help secure this service for the future for many others. 1-800-383-9772.
Well, you know, Joy, I was just looking at sort of who's been contributing so far, and what's really kind of gratifying to me so far this hour is that two out of every three people who are contributing have not contributed before. So
wonderful.
60%,
yes.
About 60% of the people who've called in so far are new to Wisconsin Public Radio as contributors, maybe not as listeners, but as contributors. If you've never contributed before, we certainly invite you, or maybe it's been a long time since you've contributed, we certainly invite you to join in today and put a vote in for Erica Janik and a vote in for this program that you hear every day from 11 to 12:30 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We do a lot of thinking about what are the best programs, and as Joy said, one of the things that we really look to do is to provide information that you can use in your daily life. Another thing that we try to do a lot is to introduce you to authors, and particularly authors from Wisconsin. We have a lot of fun with somebody mentioned Jerry Apps, for example. We had a lot of fun with him. Michael Perry was on the program. We had a lot of fun with him. James Campbell has been a guest on the program just on yesterday, another Wisconsin author. And that's one of the things that we really try to do is to bring the Wisconsin touch in terms of our authors to the program.
And it is authors. I really enjoy listening to the Wisconsin authors, Larry, but there's always a Wisconsin connection with your program for the most part. They're experts from the University of Wisconsin Extension or other campuses around the state of Wisconsin. Really, the Wisconsin idea is alive and well on your program, where you're trying to extend the boundaries of the university to the boundaries of the state and beyond, with all of the experts that you have on talking with listeners around Wisconsin and beyond. We also hear from people, obviously, from surrounding states. Pledge your support to pay for this service. Help pay for this service with your pledge of $120 a month. A month. Hey, that would be
That'd be great. That'd be
$120 a year, and we will send you the book Odd Wisconsin and the member benefit card. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Just a few more minutes left in this hour, Larry, and we have a challenge to reach by the end of this program.
Yeah, we have a $1,500 challenge grant. If we make the goal for the entire program, to sort of keep us on track, we need to raise about another $4,000 by noon. And we've got about 4 minutes to do that. We can do that pretty easily, actually.
With your help, we can do that at
1-800-383-9772. Or go online to WPR.org, WPR.org. When you go online, you can make your contribution. It automatically comes in as being registered during this particular time slot. You can print off your receipt, so it's all taken care of in one fell swoop. You've got it taken care of. But the phones are ringing, too, so lots of people are calling in with contributions. And let's make that goal. Let's make that goal of $12,000. It's a very important goal for us for this time period because of the $1,500.
That's right.
Every
hourly goal is important because it keeps us on track during these on-air membership drives, and we hope to reach every single goal. But this one is even more important because of the $1,500 challenge. Because, Larry, the way these work is they're offered up as an incentive to make the goal. We don't get that money during this hour if we don't make
That's
the
exactly
goal.
Right.
So help us get to that goal of $12,000 by the end of this program by calling in your pledge at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. 383-9772. Phones have been busy. The tally is inching up little by little. We're at about, what, about $2,800 or
so? Yeah, somewhere in there. So we've got about another $4,000 to go just to make, or a little less, to make our goal for the hour. You can help us do that, and when you contribute $120, don't forget that member benefit card that we'll send you along with Erica's book, because I tell you what, I like going to bed and breakfast, and I know that I'll be using my member benefit card to hit a bed and breakfast or two around
the
state.
That would be great. You know what, I like to hit the different cultural attractions and the different restaurants. There are restaurants all over the state. I could see taking a little cultural tour, checking out some odd Wisconsin places, perhaps places where some odd Wisconsin events have happened, and then grabbing a meal with the member benefit card at a participating restaurant, and maybe staying at a B&B.
You can do the whole thing.
There we go. 1-800-383-9772. Make your pledge of any amount to support this program, to say thanks to Larry and all the great programming that he has. Thanks to Jim Packard as well. 1-800-383-9772. And your pledge will go even farther during this program if we reach that $12,000 goal and get the extra $1,500, the challenge grant that we have on the table this hour.
Call in right now or go online again to WPR.org, WPR.org. We're going to be talking some more with Erica Janik about her book, and I hope you'll call in with your questions or your stories to tell too, because we'll look forward to that. We'll take a little look at the news and then we'll be back with Erica. Please stay with us. Call in. We're talking now with Erica Janik, author of the book Odd Wisconsin, Amusing, Perplexing, and Unlikely Stories from Wisconsin's Past. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you listening in. Just to give you a little update, we've raised about $5,000, so we have about $7,000 to go to reach our goal. So call that 800-383-9772 number, make a contribution, and help us make that goal. But Terry in Madison's been waiting a long time, so let's get Terry online. Terry, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I want to say that I listen to your show all the time. I'm a member, and everybody that listens should support you.
Thank you.
Call in. But what I was interested in was how she verified the individual pieces that went into the book. Lots of them sound like urban legends. And I'm just wondering how you managed to verify them.
All of them are things that are, they could be urban legends. I just will say that we took it on, they're all things that were printed in newspapers, were printed in books, or manuscripts that are at the Wisconsin Historical Society collections. So we are relying on the veracity of the journalists who were reporting on them at the time. Almost all of them came from newspapers, though, continue to come from newspapers, so...
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it, Terry. And John and Trigo, it's your turn. Hi, John.
Hello, Larry. I'm really from Madison. I'm on the medical school, but I'm up in the bush closing the lake cottage up for the winter.
Oh, good for you.
But I have an interest in gastric physiology. You and I met in another light several years ago, but we don't need to discuss that. Alexis St. Martin was shot on Mackinac Island.
But the woman
that called in earlier was correct. Beaumont was an Army surgeon, and he was transferred to Prairie du Chien, and he brought St. Martin with him as a servant. The story was he bought him plenty of whiskey to keep him around. And he was transferred, I think, back to Mackinac or another post where St. Martin died.
Okay, so he was. That's where St. Martin was shot. Was
the experiments happened at Fort Crawford.
Okay,
yeah, but he was study. He did most of his physiologic studies looking into the stomach with copper tubes, and none of us can understand how could you get light into the stomach through that fistula.
That is interesting.
That is interesting.
Because he didn't have flashlights.
No, not at all. But he described what anger did to the color of the stomach, meaning the blood flow, and what fear of St. Martin, how that changed the color of the mucosa of the stomach. So it was the first real gastric physiology that the world had known or had read of.
John, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for filling us in. I appreciate that. And another time we'll have to take up that story about when you and I last met. Maybe that's another odd Wisconsin story. Who knows? But I tell you what, we've got Tom and Mason waiting. So let's go to Tom. Tom, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
I just thought, since you're talking about interesting and odd things at various locations, I live up here in northern Wisconsin, and there's a small church called the Molin Church, which has a cemetery. And there's two interesting features about it. One is it's fenced in, of course, it was, and still is now. It has nine boys buried there, eight of who were in the Second World War together. And the unusual thing I wanted to really call about was they had a fence, and one fellow is buried outside the fence.
Huh.
And my mother told me that since he committed suicide, he didn't deserve to be inside. But just recently, in the last few years, I noticed they moved the fence. He's now inside the fence. Yeah.
Well, that is interesting.
I wonder, well, you wonder, maybe because if it was a suicide, maybe that's why they purposely... Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
...left him outside.
Yeah.
Wow.
Of course, it's a long time ago, and I can't verify. I didn't want to... I don't think he has any relatives here anymore because his name is unusual, but I won't mention it anyway.
Yeah,
the people that know about it are all familiar.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. I appreciate that. That's a story I did not know about. It's nothing that you'd heard about either. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that was the case, you know, back in those times, if a person committed suicide, if in some circumstances they wouldn't let him reside in the cemetery, but just outside it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join us at 800-642-1234 if you'd like to join in. You know, you can open up any hotel drawer, and you're likely to find a copy of the Gideon Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And Boscobel plays a role in that, the idea
That's
of placing right. Bibles in hotels.
That's right. It was in 1898, actually, in a Boscobel hotel when these two traveling salesmen, John Nicholson and Samuel E. Hill, they were sharing a room, and they prayed together and read the Bible, and they reflected on the fate of traveling salesmen on the road, long days on the road and lonely nights in their beds, and how it would be really nice if there was an organization for Christian traveling men like themselves. And they actually, by chance, met again at another hotel in Beaver Dam, which was in 1899, a year later, and they started talking about, we should really form an organization for people like us. And so they got together. They had their first organizational meeting actually in Janesville, and they kind of came up with the idea a few years later, actually, of putting a Bible in hotel drawers with passages marked that they thought would be especially useful to traveling businessmen. And so today, actually, the Gideons are still alive and well, and there's actually Bibles in 181 countries, and it all started in Boscobel.
All started in Boscobel. Carol, on to you. Thanks for calling.
Hello, you're welcome. In the Roman Catholic faith years ago, if a person committed suicide, the family could not bury their remains in sacred ground or blessed ground.
Oh.
And so that may be what happened in that case.
Hmm.
Okay. And has that changed?
I believe it has changed, yes. Suicide is looked on much differently today as an illness, and so it's changed.
Oh, wow. Thanks for that, Carol.
Yeah,
I appreciate knowing
You're
that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate it. Christine in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Christine.
Hi. I'm calling about something that I haven't heard about in, I don't know, 40 years. When I was a kid, we used to go up to Grandpa's farm, and when we were up there, we would make a pilgrimage to a cemetery, I think either in Marquette or Green Lake County. And there was a monument there to a boy who would not lie.
Hmm.
And he was beaten to death, apparently, by his father, who he caught his father doing something or other, and father said, well, you know, you're going to lie, and the kid wouldn't do it, and apparently the dad killed him.
My goodness.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It was famous, or at least to me, it seemed to be famous back in the maybe 50s, 60s.
Hmm.
Haven't heard anything about it since then.
Well, someone else may have.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I can't remember. You know, I'd like to really kind of go back there, but I can't remember exactly where it was and what cemetery it was.
Huh.
Well, we may still find out before the end of the show, Christine. Thanks for calling. We'll see. Mary in Madison, hi to you.
Hello. Yes, I've encountered a publication of Wisconsin photographs, maybe by Wisconsin Trail Magazine. And there was a picture of a group of Roma people, and they're commonly known in the United States
gypsies.
As gypsies.
Mm-hmm.
And there was they were driven out of northern India by the Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the women was definitely of European descent, but all the others looked as though they you know, would come from India. And I was wondering, do you know anything about their history in Wisconsin?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's a that's a tough one. That's
yeah.
That's something that, well, it's certainly not in your book, and I'm not sure where I'd begin with that. Maybe at the State Historical Society.
I think so. I was just going to say, if anyone would know, it might be a reference librarian at the Wisconsin Historical Society.
Yeah. How do you contact people there? You
can go to the website, which is wisconsinhistory.org, and there's contact information to contact a reference librarian, mm-hmm. or even just do a search on the site. There may be something on there about gypsies.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And I have another odd number to report on, and that is the number $6,835. And that happens to be the number Joy Cardine just walked in again, so we'll just do a little quick check here. Joy Cardine, we have $6,835 to raise to reach our goal of $12,000 for the program, and that gets us another $1,500 as part of our challenge grant.
That is an odd number, but it is a number that is achievable with your call, your pledge of support. 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772. You can also pledge online on our website, wpr.org. It's safe, it's secure, and it helps pay the bills at Wisconsin Public Radio and helps pay for this service that you value. Larry, we really you have our work cut out for us here, and listeners have their work cut out for them as well. But it's well worth it to make that goal and get that extra $1,500 from two anonymous listeners who love Larry Mueller's program and want to encourage you to take that step to become a supporter of Wisconsin Public Radio with your pledge of any amount. Any amount is fine. And Larry, I know we've had pledges from $10 to $10,000. So
yeah.
Surely there's an amount somewhere in between those that works for you.
And, you know, we've had a number of people call in with contributions who are already on a monthly they're paying monthly.
And they're upping it.
And they're adding an extra $40 or $50 or $30 or $20. So they're adding. They've just decided, well, let's help Larry out here a little bit. So they're adding a little bit of money to that total. And that's wonderful. I'm really glad. If you feel like you can afford that and are comfortable with that, and you're already on the sort of the monthly payment plan, and you can add a little more, that's great. If you're not, if you haven't been a contributor, let's say, for a while, and want to contribute, now would be a great time to do it. Where our number of new contributors is still about a third of the people who are calling in, so that's pretty nice.
That is wonderful, and that in fact 13, another yeah. odd number
another
there.
Another odd number,
but that is that's wonderful. Maybe you've been listening for quite some time and just never realized that mm-hmm. We were asking you for your support of this program, or maybe you're a fairly new listener and you've just stumbled on Larry Mueller's program and you really enjoy all of the great guests and great topics day after day during this noon hour time. Why not chip in to keep bringing this service to everyone around the state of Wisconsin and beyond? 31% of our budget comes from listener contributions, so that's why we ask you to chip in at 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or pledge on the web, WPR.org.
You know, we heard from Dana in Wauwatosa, who says, thanks so much for the excellent programming and intelligent hosts.
Whoa. Who's she talking about?
It's like having friends in my kitchen with me while I'm caring for my family.
Isn't that nice? That's wonderful. And Larry, listeners really do love this program. I know in my role as manager of the talk shows here at Wisconsin Public Radio, besides doing the morning program, I do hear from a lot of listeners about what they like and sometimes what they don't like. But you know what, Larry? They like you. They really, really like you. And you do, too. That's why you're listening. 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online at WPR.org. We are working toward an overall goal of $12,000, about
$6,500. $6,500 to go to reach that goal, and we only can reach it with your help. And, you know, speaking of help, Erica Janik, who is sitting right here now with a big grin on her face, has been quite a long time contributor and volunteer to Wisconsin Public Radio. And you answer the phones.
That's right. I've been answering phones for maybe 5 years now. I come in all the pledge drives.
Well,
so.
See, you don't even, I didn't know that. That's wonderful. So not only is she a guest, and of course, our guests on Wisconsin Public Radio give of their time, and Larry, you have many regular mm-hmm. guests who mm-hmm. on a monthly basis are here sharing expertise and knowledge with our listeners. But here we have a volunteer. We have a room full of volunteers right now who are giving up of their time because they love public radio so much that they want to take your call and take your pledge at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Help Larry get this extra $1,500, the challenge grant that we have on the table right now from a couple of anonymous listeners to Larry's program who want to encourage you to make that pledge. That $1,500 will make your pledge go even farther if that goal is reached. I should say, Larry, when that goal is reached.
We can reach this goal with your help. And, you know, if you contribute, I found out the other day, Jennifer Dargan told me that I believe it's a day's worth of phone service costs us $450, or maybe it's an hour.
I was going to say, that sounds cheap for a whole day.
No, it's an hour.
Yeah,
it's an hour.
Because, you know, we have the toll-free line that that is there so you can call in and participate in these programs, because we don't want to tell somebody who lives in northern Wisconsin that you have to, you know,
pay a long-distance call to get
advice from one of Larry's guests. So there is the toll-free line, so everybody can participate in the programs. Want to make it equal mm-hmm. along those lines, so it's for everyone. And, Larry, the phone bill is expensive in that it takes a lot to find all the different guests. The producers have to call different guests all over the mm-hmm. state, or in some cases all over the world, to find the guests. And then sometimes we get the guest on the telephone. So the phone bill is a big one around here. You would not want to have our phone bill.
You would not want our phone bill.
Your pledge helps pay that phone bill at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772.
Or go online to WPR.org. And, you know, we've got about $6,500 to go to reach our goal of $12,000. We only do it, you know, we can only do it with your help. And don't forget, when you contribute at least $120, we'll send you a copy of Erica's book, Odd Wisconsin. And this goal is $6,500. We can make that goal with your help. We'll send you a copy of Odd Wisconsin. And if you've been listening to the show, you know there are a lot of great stories. We just scratched the surface of the odd things that Erica has found and written about in her book. There's a lot more to be talked about, and you'll even enjoy reading because we sort of just describe some of them. She's a good writer, and she has some. I really laughed out loud at a few of them, especially the ones about the legislature, which were a couple of really funny ones in there.
Yeah, I wasn't able to listen the entire hour because I was in Pledge Central, but I did. I looked at some of these. There's no original constitution for the state of Wisconsin.
That's right. The original's missing.
The
I didn't know that.
Oh my goodness.
And I didn't know that someone really did die by chocolate, death by chocolate.
That's right. Yeah.
somebody
be careful.
Be careful who you get your chocolate from. But you don't have to be careful here when you call in with a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's say you're going to put it on your credit card or whatever. However you do it, your name, we keep your name. You don't have to worry about some odd people calling you saying, oh yeah, we got your name and address from Wisconsin Public Radio. That's not going to happen because we will not sell or give away names or addresses. It's very personal between you and between us here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
You know what, Larry, though, if someone does call in a really generous contribution and helps us get to that $12,000 goal, you have had some super generous contributions.
Oh, he's had some big ones.
And if you want Larry to call you back to say thank you,
we will
use your number to call you back
absolutely.
To say thank you for your generous support of Wisconsin Public Radio. We could use a couple of those generous pledges. All pledges are generous, but sometimes people have it within their budget, within their means, and they love public radio enough that $1,000 or more is certainly doable. 1-800-383-9772. Make that pledge, whatever the amount, to help pay for this program, to help pay for this entire service of Wisconsin Public Radio. Remember, the $10 a month or more level entitles you not only to the member benefit card, which has all those great benefits for free food and free nights in the B&Bs and free cultural attraction admissions. You also get a copy of the book Odd Wisconsin, which is suitable for gift giving. 1-800-383-9772. Do make that pledge right now.
And the other thing you're doing when you contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio is you're helping secure the future of Wisconsin Public Radio, because our expenses are, like anybody's budget. You know, we have a certain budget that we meet just like you do in your own home, and we need to meet that. And you are actually contributing about 30% of that budget, 31% of that budget to keep us going and keep providing the kinds of programming that we provide here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're moving. We're at 6,000 or a little, maybe a little under 6,000. Laura in Madison phoned in with a contribution, says, thanks for all the excellent ideas, network programming. Jim and Franklin, Jim, I like you, thinks my show is a wonderful asset to the state. He learns more from Wisconsin Public Radio than the New York Times.
Excellent,
some days.
Excellent. Well, we are like the New York Times. We will have the news, and we have the important issues of the day. We have some guests with some editorials. We have the funny pages here, Larry.
with me, here I am.
Wisconsin,
every day.
Wisconsin. 1-800-383-9772. Do make your pledge right now. Help us reach this $12,000 goal by the end of this half hour. Only a few more minutes to go, Larry.
And about $5,000 to go.
So a $5,000 pledge would do it. So would a bunch of $120 pledges. Pledge because you appreciate Larry and all of the fine programs that he brings you every single day, all of the great information, and all of the programs you hear on the Ideas Network. 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online at WPR.org.
Really hope we can make our goal here, because when we make that goal, we get an additional $1,500. That challenge grant is very important. And, you know, if we don't make the goal, we don't get the extra money.
And
that would be a shame. Help us out right now. We're down to about our last minute and a half or so of the program. So I'm going to make this special appeal to you right now. If you haven't contributed in a long time, or maybe you've never contributed before, this would be a great time to step up, make your contribution. At least $120, we'll send you a copy of the book and the member benefit card as well. But you will, no matter what amount you contribute, you know that you've helped us reach our goal, and you ought to feel better all day knowing that you've helped Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's that number, 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Go online to WPR.org and make your contribution that way. We have to go away now, but thanks to everybody who's contributed. If you haven't contributed yet, do it right now. And thanks to Erica Janik.